Today, Prime Minister Theresa May presented her plan for Britain's exit from the European Union to her cabinet, with just about 4 months to go before the divorce will be final. In a few moments, we will get to what's going on now and what might happen next. But first, how did we get here, to the brink of an historic division? Let's go back to January of 2013. Nationalism and anti-Europe sentiment have been building in the UK, and Prime Minister David Cameron says he'll put the question to a vote.
It will be an in-out referendum. It is time for the British people to have their say. It is time for us to settle this question about Britain and Europe.
That referendum wouldn't happen for another 3.5 years, but Cameron makes his position known. The UK and Europe would be better off together. Then the people vote.
The total number of votes cast in favour of leave was 17,410,742.
On June 23rd, 2016, 52% vote to leave, 48% to remain. The reading of the official results shock the world.
This means that the UK has voted to leave the European Union.
The British people have split with their Prime Minister, and the next day, Cameron's political career is over.
I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months. But I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination.
That duty would fall to Theresa May. On July 13, 2016, May becomes Prime Minister, and by March of the next year, she makes Brexit official. May triggers Article 50, a clause in the Treaty on European Union that allows EU member countries to leave the bloc.
This is an historic moment from which there can be no turning back. Britain is leaving the European Union. We are going to make our own decisions and our own laws. We are going to take control of the things that matter most to us.
It also sets the clock ticking. The treaty gives both sides 2 years to finalize the details of the divorce, details that were barely discussed before the referendum. What to do about the Irish border? How will people and goods move across the continent? In September, Theresa May rallied most of her cabinet behind a deal she called the Chequers Plan, which would keep the EU and the UK in a close relationship under a common rulebook and frictionless trade. Critics who wanted a clean break were not satisfied.
This is the moment to chuck Chequers.
Her Foreign Minister Boris Johnson resigned in protest.
If we get it wrong now and we proceed with this undemocratic solution, if you remain half in, half out, we will protract this toxic, tedious business that is frankly so off-putting to sensible middle-of-the-road people who want us to stop talking about Europe and get on with their domestic priorities.
Critics like Johnson say the deal Theresa May is pitching to her cabinet today would still leave the UK unfairly tied to Europe. So that's where we are, with just 4 months to go before the Brexit deadline. Still not clear whether there will be a deal to make a clean break or no deal and potential chaos. We're going to bring in some journalists who've been covering this all along. But first, I want to go right to the BBC's political correspondent, Rob Watson, who's at Westminster on a very busy day, busy evening. Rob, what is the latest? What's going on right now?
It certainly is an extraordinary moment. I also should say, Jeremy, that welcome to London. I'm almost wondering whether you have some sort of, I don't know, a bug inside Downing Street that you knew to come these two days after months.
Well.
I mean, it's extraordinary. After months and months since the referendum of not that much happening, you come at a truly historic moment. And to try and put this in some context for you, I mean, we've had a sort of form of cabinet government here since the mid-17th century, and this is probably one of the most important meetings in the last few hundred years. And that is because, A, the issue is immensely important. How and in what manner will Britain leave the European Union? And it's immensely important in the sense that this has been described as a moment of truth, day of judgment for Theresa May, because we're not sure at this point whether her government, now that they've got an outline of the deal, does it implode or does it sort of reluctantly get behind her, and that she then tries to take the whole deal to Parliament and get it through there as well. And what makes this such a truly dramatic moment is not just the immensely high stakes, but nobody, I don't think, genuinely knows how this ends. I think if Theresa May was here and you asked her, will you get your deal through your government and through Parliament, I think she would probably say, I don't know, but I'm certainly going to try.
Any predictions, Rob, about what's going to happen?
Well, I suspect that she'll probably get it through her inner circle of ministers, the cabinet, as we call it. I think she'll just about do that. I think the more difficult challenge is getting it through Parliament. And I'll just give you a little flavour of this. I mean, I have spoken to two politicians who I really like and trust, who I think are smart people. One said, "Yep, Rob, she's definitely going to get it through. It's going to be tough." And the other one said, no chance.
Okay. Rob Watson at Westminster. Thank you, Rob. And let's bring in NPR London correspondent Frank Langford, who's here with me in the studio. And we're joined from Brussels by Bernd Riegert, who is senior European correspondent for Deutsche Welle. Frank, let me start with you. What is at stake here? What are the questions that you still have about what might happen next?
Well, I think the stakes are really, really big for the United Kingdom. One of the great risks here is if Theresa May can't get this through her cabinet or through Parliament, they could end up with a no deal, which would mean the United Kingdom walking away from an enormous economy, which could do a lot of damage and also just cause more friction with Europe at a very difficult time in this part of the world. And in terms of questions, the big question, I think, is exactly what Rob was talking about, is what's the math to get this through Parliament? Most of today we've been hearing how so many factions in Parliament are against this.
Bernd Riegert, what is the view from Brussels as you watch what's going on right now?
Well, officials here in Brussels are keeping their fingers crossed and all eyes are on London. There's much optimism and hope that this is the final day. We are very, very close. And it won't get any better in the future. So this is the one and only chance, I guess. And as we speak, the ambassadors of the 27 other member states are being briefed by the negotiating team about the content of this 400 or 500 pages. We don't know yet. And here in Brussels, they still hope that this tonight will be the final negotiation night, because after 18 months and or 19 months of negotiation, everybody is exhausted and nobody has a better idea than that what is now in these papers. It waters down or comes down to a more or less comfortable customs union for the United Kingdom. And so the United Kingdom would have the same status as Turkey in the future.
But, you know, the interesting thing here is that if Theresa May is able to get it through her cabinet and get it through Parliament, it's still going to have to go through every single one of those 27 countries. But it seems, Bernd Riegert, like that's going to be the easy part, that they'll say yes if she can do it.
Yeah, it seems to be the easy part, because so far the 27 member states are really united, and this is maybe a little bit surprising for outsiders, but they are really united behind the negotiating team of Michel Barnier, and they also side with the Irish Prime Minister, whose country is, of course, most affected by Brexit. So it should be easy, if there is a deal, to get the ratification in all 27 member states. You never know. Maybe there's some little regional parliament in Belgium. We had that before that has special wishes. But I think if Britain agrees, then also the European Union will agree. And in the end, the final say has the European Parliament in Strasbourg, that also has to ratify the deal.
Frank, we have heard so many different possibilities of what could happen, including today, Tony Blair, the former prime minister, was on television saying we should have another referendum. There are people that have said this is going to lead to the breakup of the United Kingdom because Northern Ireland is going to be off in a world of its own with Ireland. What's the most likely scenario? What's the scariest scenario as you see?
Well, I think those two scenarios are a bit much. I mean,
they're not going to happen.
It's not likely. I mean, this is incredibly uncertain. But the idea of a second referendum that would allow people to vote out, to vote to stay in the European Union, if you talk to people around and you also talk to politicians, there's very little stomach for that. And then in terms of what we've heard from the Democratic Unionist Party in Northern Ireland, the idea that this would break up the United Kingdom, that's pretty far-fetched. But it is creating a lot of stress inside. You know, one of the problems with Northern Ireland is they are very concerned of being cut off from the United Kingdom, having a border of some type in the Irish Sea between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So there is a lot more stress that people are feeling in this country right now.
What does this mean for the United States?
It all depends on your perspective. You know, if you're a traditional American foreign policy person and you believe in the transatlantic alliance and a great relationship between France and the United Kingdom, the post-World War II allies, this is of great concern to you. You don't like to see this kind of strife in the United Kingdom and this sort of friction, and you hope that the UK would stay closer to the EU. Now, if you're Donald Trump, you actually don't like the EU. You don't want to see the UK in a close alignment with the European Union, and you'd like to see a much sharper split. Donald Trump is a Brexiteer.
Bernd Rieger, let me just finally go back to you, just 30 seconds here. But do you think that at the end of all of this, you'll have a stronger or a weaker Europe?
That's the million-dollar question. So far, Europe is more united when it comes to Brexit. But of course, losing Britain and the British economy and Britain as a factor for security policy is not a good thing for the European Union.
And that is Bernd Rieger, who has been joining us from Brussels. He's senior European correspondent for Deutsche Welle. He says the weather is not good in Brussels. The weather is nice here in London, where we've got NPR's Frank Langfitt. It's going to be a very interesting evening, Frank,
yes,
to see
it will.
What happens. How would you say this is compared to other days with Brexit?
This reminds me of the vote in terms of something so crucial. So you'd have to go back more than 2 years, that crucial vote that surprised the world.
That is Frank Langfitt, and we will have more throughout the hour. You're listening to Here and Now.